Christmas, just like the ones I used to know, where the treetops glisten.
Tree tops glisten. again and again.
Christmas is a-coming and the bells begin to ring. The holly's in the window and the birds begin to sing. Now don't take time to worry and don't take time to fret. And the more you give at Christmas time, the more you'll get. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. And the more you give at Christmas time, the more you'll get.
Christmas is a-coming and the egg is in the nog. Please to give a friendly man a friendly little dog. If you haven't got a friendly dog, a friendly cat'll do. If you haven't got a friendly cat, may God bless you.
God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a friendly cat, may God bless you. Christmas is a-coming and the lights are on the tree.
How about a turkey leg for poor old me? If you haven't got a turkey leg, a turkey wing will do.
If you haven't got a turkey wing, may God bless you. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a turkey wing, may God bless you.
Christmas is a-coming and the cider's in the keg. If I had a mug of cider, then I wouldn't have to beg. If you haven't got a mug of cider, half a mug'll do. If you haven't got a half a mug, may God bless you.
God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a half a mug, may God bless you.
If you haven't got a thing for me,
may God bless you.
When I'm feeling blue, when I'm feeling low, then I start to think about the happiest man I know. He doesn't mind the snow and he doesn't mind the rain, but all December you will hear him at your window pane, a-singing again and again and again and again and again and again.
Christmas is a-coming and the bells begin to ring. The holly's in the window and the birds begin to sing. Now don't take time to worry and don't take time to fret. And the more you give at Christmas time, the more you'll get. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. And the more you give at Christmas time, the more you'll get.
Christmas is a-coming and the egg is in the nog. Please to give a friendly man a friendly little dog. If you haven't got a friendly dog, a friendly cat'll do. If you haven't got a friendly cat, may God bless you.
God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a friendly cat, may God bless you. Christmas is a-coming and the lights are on the tree.
How about a turkey leg for poor old me? If you haven't got a turkey leg, a turkey wing will do.
If you haven't got a turkey wing, may God bless you. God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a turkey wing, may God bless you.
Christmas is a-coming and the cider's in the keg. If I had a mug of cider, then I wouldn't have to beg. If you haven't got a mug of cider, half a mug'll do. If you haven't got a half a mug, may God bless you.
God bless you, gentlemen, God bless you. If you haven't got a half a mug, may God bless you.
If you haven't got a thing for me,
may God bless you.
Christmas. You can plan on me. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas, if only
my strength is gone. You're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins. Our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Day, so it's not don't really work overtime if you like, and yeah, and it's good, it's quite challenging things going on, so yeah, about once every third or fourth weekend I work, but then I get 2 days off in the week to make up for it, so it's good. It's all right. It's all right. Should we go through "Oh Come All You Faithful"? We'll work it out as we go.
Okay. I don't know where to come in. I was just thinking we came in and went, okay.
Was that the third day?
Casting Crowns.
Casting Crowns. That was it. Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure we'll play it exactly like that. We'll work it out. Because I found trying to find chords in various places, there's just so many different ones. So have you got, for "O Come All You Faithful," do you have starting on G? So G, D, E minor, C, D? First two lines? G, A minor. There's a lot of chords in that version. And I'm going to struggle. We could just, I'll try, just go and play what I've got and it might fit. I think I've got this version without so many chords in. I just start playing it and then see if what you've got fits in.
Come on.
See, I've just got the two.
Okay, the two? So you've got this one and that one.
Yeah.
So and yours are, and that's fine.
That's what, that's normal, isn't it?
They're probably, yay, Lord, we greet thee.
Yeah, we normally do the tree god of
this one.
Do we?
Yeah.
There is a...
It's the one.
Christmas Day only, because it's born this happy morning.
Oh, look at you! Oh, yeah, so do we do this verse two then, normally?
I don't know.
Okay, well, we can just sing the two. We can do it. We can do what we like.
Chop and change.
But that could also be a Christmas... We'll just say it's also a Christmas one. We'll just do those two verses. That's fine.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, I think we'll just do those
two. I give them to Don. Don's holding them. Yes. I waited because I just thought that's just a pain to interrupt them.
Right, let's go in order.
No. It was happy.
So, Cornerstone.
Okay. Do you know? Oh, right, I do know.
Two lines. Four lines. first verse.
Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, so wholly trust in Jesus' name. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm. He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I trust on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. Goes within the veil. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Do you think that's too low?
It's not low for me, but
it's
not
right.
Low for other girlies.
Yeah, it's a bit late for me.
Do you want to go up then? My hope.
Go up a tone.
What's the highest note?
My hope is built on nothing less.
Jesus, Lord, and righteousness. Yeah. Da 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 da. Christ, the cornerstone. But yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
It doesn't go that much higher.
Yeah.
Through the storm. Yeah, that's fine.
We'll go with that. Can you
shift it up?
Shift
Look
it
at
up.
You.
Whatever.
Moving on.
All right. Okay, let's try that then.
Is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sounds, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. For this I stand before the throne. For this I
stand. And then back to In Christ Alone.
No, he's not going to be, he's not going to do
There's
that.
A key change that you could do, but
he goes, but he belts it out.
Yeah.
There, but we've moved it up a key already.
Yeah, and they
have
already moved it up one.
Really warmed up. So.
Tis rather high. It's high for me to say that. Thanks. I made it myself.
Sound like Cilla Black. Right, I need to remember to write down capo 2.
I always like that when I sing because it requires so much effort. I'm so unfit, I can't tell you. Your children are crazy.
<It's 'cause laughs> It's because you don't watch that much enough telly.
No, that's your problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they're too creative.
Oh no, you never let go.
Oh no.
Are you
all right
leaving
these three?
Yeah.
So what I'll do, I'll welcome everybody.
Yeah.
Rush over here, and then those three are in your hands.
Oh, do we have this?
And I'll run back over there.
Yeah, it's called.
Is it?
It's
called.
I'll see
how it's called.
Yeah.
Do you want to,
did I make a friend?
Do you want to do sort of Phil Collins? If we start playing, and then and you sort of just slowly amble round to the drum kit, and then just as the beat comes in, you sit down.
He means you need to put on a gorilla suit.
Bit of a riff.
Yeah, Capri. Exactly. Gorilla suit. And slab of chocolate. I don't think he's just saying it's a good idea, regardless of whether. Oh. This music's a bit. Oh, and upside down.
Walk, couple
of
that.
No, I walk through the valley of shadow of.
So I've got, mine
okay,
starting
just
on
pick
A.
One.
But I've got capo 2, which would make it a,
that's
right,
a
B.
I hate playing in B major.
B major, yeah, that would be a good. That would be great. Let's do that.
I'm
of the shadow of death. Your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear?
Any lower in the beginning, yeah. Even though I walk,
let's try it in A.
That will be too low.
Even though I walk through the valley. The shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. Even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me,
okay, I see where we're going. Coming. Sorry, I beg your pardon, it's my fault.
For the heart that holds on.
Yeah.
Glorious light.
There, right, sorry, I wasn't reading the music properly. I was like, even though I, pardon? I'm not reading the music properly, it's my fault.
Oh, my soul! All right, then.
Should we go through that again? I was a bit scratchy all over that.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go, to the calm and through the storm. A heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me,
CNN. Oh, no.
I don't know, I can't see what it's jumping to.
I can see a light.
One says one and four, three to repeat chorus, two to bridge. So I can see a light that is coming for the heart.
It's like a variation of verse two or something.
Yeah, it seems to be.
And
yeah.
There will be.
But not quite the same.
Yeah, it changes a bit. So it goes.
It's
like to see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you. Still I will praise you. Oh no,
you never let go.
Okay.
I'll be not repeating that bit then. There's a repeat.
What, the bridge?
There's a repeat. Yeah, there's a repeat of the bridge written, but we don't have
yeah.
to do it.
Yeah. 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 We can repeat that.
And then the Oh no, you never let go.
Yeah.
So we're gonna repeat the bridge.
I think
second
well,
to light yeah, that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles until still love. Bridge. Okay. It's quite confusing, and I've not. The problem is I'm not read through it, and then. It doesn't help.
So, first two.
I can see a light. That is coming. So we just singing? We're not actually singing what's written either. So we're going one, and then. Two is just going back here. Yeah. That's rhyme. And then we're going to sing the bridge times two.
Yeah. So one, two, three. Times two. That's chorus.
Oh, I still need to do a reading.
Okay.
Oh no! I think I'll just delete it. All.
Can you do it undo?
No.
Try to control Z, see if that works. I don't know if it does work on a tablet.
Oh. Hello. How did you do that? Why did it cover up my other stuff?
First one,
pre-chorus, chorus. First two, pre-chorus, chorus. Bridge, twice. So I want to copy that. So I just need to pop that to the end. Copy. Yeah. And then paste that there. That deletes the last bit of all anyway. Okay.
Okay.
I think I'm sorted with that one now.
Okay. Yes. 1, 2, bridge, bridge, chorus. Right. Crack on.
Yeah.
Did my let's say that the microphone's on.
Strength will rise. Are we quite confident with that one?
Strength will rise.
Where do I come in?
Okay, I need an order service. Yes, exactly what I was thinking.
Be the centre.
I'll ask Philip.
It's nearly 25 past 10 and we're only halfway through.
Well, let's...
Phil, do you have an order service for us at all? Have you got enough to give us a copy? Just got your own. Have you? Okay. I switched the photocopier off, though. we can write it down. It's okay. Okay. That photocopy takes a bit of a warm-up.
Won't remember to press play.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord.
Our God.
Sorry.
You reign
for. Are you doing it?
Yeah, no, actually, maybe to
G.
G. Yeah. That is where we normally play it, where we played it before. It's a bit like...
Strength.
Oh, it's just this one goes high in the next bit as well. And then...
Strength will
rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak, you comfort those in need, you lift us up like wings, like eagles. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings.
Okay. Did overcome all you faithful?
Yes, we did. So it's in Christ alone is all that's left, I think.
And Jesus be the centre.
Jesus be the centre.
Oh. right. It's hidden. Oh, we're doing Jesus be the centre. Right, I was thinking that doesn't sound right.
Jesus, be the center. Be my source, be my light. Jesus. Jesus, be the center. Be my hope, be my
Jesus.
Thank you.
Be the fire in my heart. Be the wind in these sails. Be the reason that I live. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision. Be my path, be my guide. Jesus, be
is there a third verse in your version? We'll go verse 1, verse 2, then the chorus, then verse 3, and then the chorus. Is that right? 1, 2, chorus, first, chorus.
1, 2, chorus,
first. Yeah, yeah.
For the minute, I'll be going.
Right. Last but not least, in Christ alone.
Okay. Okay. Oh.
Oops.
Hope is found, here's one. Okay, right.
Okay. I'm not sure why I'm missing a couple of chords out of there, which I'm sure I put in.
Just let Ellie fill it in, it's fine.
Yeah, you're right. In
Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when seasons drown, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God and helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought by the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death,
This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hands. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Right, order of service.
All right.
Yes. All right, over to you.
Okay.
I've
got them all in order,
yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Right.
Mine
are not.
Yeah.
One, two, and three.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It's great to see you here on the first Sunday in Advent. Never mind Black Friday and sales weekends. The most important thing to remember this weekend is we begin to prepare for Jesus' arrival on Christmas Day. It's a wonderful time and a wonderful season. We're going to be lighting the candle. We're going to be celebrating who Jesus is. For today, said the angel, in Bethlehem is born to you the Messiah, the long-awaited Messiah, the King. And we're going to spend the month of December just waiting for that moment and preparing our hearts to receive him as he arrives again this year in our lives afresh. So we're going to be doing that. It's great this morning to have Charlie and Lou and the family knocking about. Where's Lou gone? Where's Lou? Oh, there you are. Sorry, you're on the front row. There's Lou. Lou's going to be preaching later on this morning, which is fantastic. Charlie's here. Whenever they come back, we bag them for everything. So Charlie's playing and going to lead us in some opening worship. Let's just pray as we begin, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for being with us this morning. Thank you for being Emmanuel, God with us. And thank you that this morning you will remind us of good news. You will remind us of hope. You will remind us of who you are once again. And as we sing and pray and speak, Lord, through your Holy Spirit, speak not just to our minds, but to the hearts of everybody in this place, young and old alike. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over to you, Charlie.
Hello. Good morning. So we're just going to spend a bit of time singing and praising God. I just encourage you, I suppose, at the start, just to take your time. Don't rush in. We're going to start off by singing Cornerstone, and the words of the song start, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. And the second verse, when darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. So just take a moment to settle yourself maybe with God and just reflect on the words as we sing them, and just remind yourself of why you're here, who we're here to worship, to find out more about, and to have fellowship in. So we're just going to praise God together. So if you'd like to stand, and we'll sing.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but only trust in Jesus' name. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, Savior's love through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale,
my anchor holds within the veil. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When He shall come with trumpet sounds, oh, may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless I stand before the throne. In Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the Savior's love, through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Yes, thank you, Lord, that that when you come in trumpet sound, that we pray that we may be found in you and dressed in your righteousness, and that you see us as faultless, Lord. And we cannot understand that. We thank you for it.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. If my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, He never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, He never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, He never let go, Lord, He never let go of me. I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on, a glorious light beyond all compare. And there will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, we'll live to know you're here on the earth. I will fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I fear? Oh no, you never let go through the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. So I can see a light that is coming for the heart that holds on. There will be an end to these troubles, but until that day comes, still I will praise you, still I will praise you. And don't know, you never let go, there's the calm and through the storm. Oh no, you never let go in every high and every low. Oh no, you never let go, Lord, you never let go of me. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord, we will wait upon the Lord.
strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not faint, you won't grow weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like eagles. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength arises, we wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God, you do not faint, you won't go weary. You're the defender of the weak. You comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings like
Yeah, Father God, we thank you for your that you persist with us, that you don't give up on us, that you don't change, that you're everlasting, and that when we come into church and meet together like this, that we don't have to get ourselves in any particular place. You don't change, and that we can have a relationship with you, and we can come and praise you, and we should, and that's what you deserve. So we just want to lift up your name, Lord, and praise you. Yeah, give you the glory. Amen. Just take a seat.
If you want to follow along, just listen along. And on the screen, a few pictures just to help me. It's just like the BBC. It's fantastic. It's really good. Okay, now this is the story of the not-so-wise man. Ashtar was the wise. He was very wise. He was the wisest in the land, so people said. And he lived alone in a tall, windswept tower at the very top of a hill. Every evening, people would come from far and wide to listen to Ashtar's great wisdom and learning. For Ashtar was a very, very, very wise man. One winter's night, Ashtar was even busier than usual. They crowded into his tower room, sitting on the stairs and even peering through the side door. Here you go. There's another one. Oh, that will do. Okay. Young and old, rich and poor, all gathered round to listen to the wise man, seeking answers to some of life's greatest mysteries. Mysteries like, why does sour cream have a sell-by date on it? How come abbreviation is such a long word? How does the man who drives a snowplow get to work in the winter? Why is it that a door is open, it's ajar, but when a jar is open, it's just ajar? How much deeper would the ocean be if sponges didn't grow in it? You have to think about that one. And whose cruel idea was it for the word lisp to have an S in it? Now, Ashtar smiled, for mysteries such as these were child's play to such a very, very, very wise man. Just as he thought this night would offer him no challenge, up jumped Jacob Samuel. Jacob ran a carpenter shop. He'd once asked Ashtar advice about painting his huge barn blue with a yellow stripe across it and sell trendy Scandinavian furniture, which people would take home and build at home. Ashtar had told him it would never catch on, so he'd abandoned the idea. "Here, Ashtar," said Jacob, for he was from the north of the country. "Here, I've got this cousin, right, Zachariah, three times removed on my uncle's side. Well, strangest thing happened t'other day. He were working in temple. Up pops t'angel. No word of a lie, tells him to Messiah's on way. And that his son is going to be the messenger. Weird thing is, Zach's not got a son, and his wife Liz, well, she's so old, she qualifies for a bus pass. Well, that's not honest, Pat. Nay, lad, that's not honest, Pat. Now, Zach can't say out, and Liz is pregnant. What do you make of that then, eh? Mad as a bag of cats, that one, isn't it?" Ashtar took a deep breath. This was the second family member that Jacob claimed had seen an angel in no less a time. The last story had been about Liz's relative, a lady called Mary. Ashtar told Jacob, "She must have got the story wrong. Everybody knows that old ladies don't have children, and Zachariah's probably just got laryngitis." But Jacob's story reminded him, at that moment, of a prophecy. And he told them about a time when a great king would be born from heaven itself. But he doubted it would ever happen in the way Jacob described it. After all, Ashtar was a very, very, very wise man. Now, when the last visitor had gone, Ashtar climbed the winding stairs to the top of his tower, and he gazed up into the sky. The stars shone like a spray of diamonds. Ashtar knew that each one, he knew their names, and he counted them off in his head. Suddenly, he stopped. His old heart leapt in his chest, for there in the midnight sky was the sign he'd been waiting for, a new star in the sky. Maybe crazy Jacob Samuelson was right after all. Maybe something big was about to happen. So Ashtar ran downstairs. He threw his scrolls and a clean nightshirt into the bag, and he filled up the camel. The star was calling him. It was a sign. The king from heaven was about to be born, and Ashtar would be the first to greet this new king from heaven. But that is for next week, as we continue the story of the not-so-wise man. Don't miss it. Okay. I think I might keep these on. I don't know. But there you go. Okay, we're going to light our very first Advent candle now, and I'm going to ask Alex just to come up and read a little verse about getting ready. And there was a man called John who was getting everybody ready on that first Christmas. This is a story of him.
In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. A voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey, and people went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River.
Great. It's starting to feel like Christmas. It's beginning to look like... No. We're going to say some words together because a little later Lou's going to be preaching on the theme of hope. And
let's remind ourselves of hope. I'll say bits in white, you just respond with a bit in yellow. We light this first Advent candle to remind us of the Advent hope.
Jesus is coming again. Let's say together. The Apostle Paul writes... The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. Let us stop doing the things that belong to the dark and let us take up weapons for fighting in the light. Amen. Shall we sing a song now, a hymn? And let's prepare as God's people for God coming. Oh, come all ye faithful. Come, let us adore him. Let's do that.
If you'd like to stand, we'll sing.
Oh, come, O ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord. Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation. Sing, O ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ. Christ the Lord.
For a moment. And let's bring some notices of what's happening in the fellowship around and about at the moment. Thank you to those folks who joined us for Wendy's funeral on Friday. It was great just to say not goodbye, but see you later to Wendy, as we'll be reunited one day in glory. And it was wonderful to be with the family there, Barry and the family. Please pray for them. Will you also pray for the family of Jean Fleming? Jean passed away on Thursday. And it's great to have family here today. Lovely to see you folks, and great to make your acquaintance. It's lovely. And would you be praying for all of the family, for Margaret, Karen, Susan, Valerie, for Jacob? And would you remember them at this time, particularly at this time, which is time when folks usually gather for Christmas together, don't they? So it's a bit more poignant when you leave someone just before that. But we thank God that Jean is now with the Lord and celebrating a Christmas that will be like no other. Praise God for that. Thank you to all the folks who got involved yesterday at our Christmas craft fair. That was fantastic. Would you just stand up if you were involved in that? If you were helped out on the Friday night, or maybe made something, or cooked something, or baked something, or hoovered up at the end, or anything at all, if you were involved in that. And this is just a smidgen of all the folks that, you're not all standing up. Some of you here on Friday night. Yeah, come on. There you go, great. And thank you for all the folks who just got out, helped us in all sorts of ways and let us know. Would you give these folks a round of applause for all of that? That was brilliant. That was really good. I think we've got a little PowerPoint of some notices and things that are going to be on the screen any minute. Don't forget the Advent course. It is Advent, so the Advent course continues. Don't worry if you miss one, or you missed the first one, just pop along, and it would be great to see you along for that. Let me flick through a few of these. Here we go. There you go. There's the Advent course. It started last week, but feel free to pop along if you want to. That would be really good as we prepare and as we make room for Jesus this year, as we don't let the busyness get in the way, but actually spend and carve out time every week to remember what it's all about. It's all about him. There's some resources floating around. One of those we have this morning. If you don't know, the 1st of December is hotly approaching, and you've just got enough time. We've got the Real Advent Calendar, which also has a little booklet that you can read with your kids. It tells the story of Christmas, the Bible story of Christmas. So we'd love it if you want to take one of those. We have a little stock of those. They're £4. They're over in the Oasis there in a box. Just put the money in a box and take one away if you haven't managed to get your Advent Calendar sorted out so far. That would be really good. On the craft market, we did a little thing called Get in the Picture yesterday. And Get in the Picture is still out there in the hall. And if you would like, this morning, we left it out there. If you still want to get in the picture this morning, and you're with family or friends or complete strangers who you think you can talk into it, you can dress up, you can get in the nativity scene. If you never got to play Mary, now is your chance. If they never picked you for Joseph, now is your chance. And you can download it from the website later, and you can send it to friends and family. You can make your Christmas card out of it. You can do all sorts of things. It's out in the hall. It will be available at the end of the service just for you lot, okay? So if you want to do that, feel free to do that. There's some wonderful resources as well, and look in your bulletin for those, for Advent readings every day, so you can remember what this season is all about. And there's a little bit of a picture of the craft market from yesterday. We're going to have our offering right now. We're going to take up our offering. And while we do that, I thought I'd just show you a few pictures of a few people you may not have seen in this particular way before. So have fun with that. And let's take up our offering as we do.
There is a hope so sure, a promise so secure. The mystery of God at last made known.
Treasures so vast appear, all wisdom, knowledge here. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory.
And the life that I now live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory. And each day I live no longer is my own. Jesus lives in me, the hope of glory.
There is
never look at them the same way again, will you? There you go. Bless them. Great. It's great fun, because Christmas is about that joy and that sense of family and that sense of being involved. Now, you are part of God's family. Isn't that wonderful? That's one of the blessings of Christmas, that now God invites you as his children to share in his family. And it's wonderful just to remember that. We're going to give thanks for the offering. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for all the good things that you give to us. Thank you for this season of good news, of joy, of peace, of hope. And as we reflect on those things later, Lord, may those things settle into our hearts, not just our minds. May knowing the story not just be an intellectual exercise, may it be an experience of God every day, the God who loves us, who came, lived among us, died for us and rose again gloriously, and is at this moment ascended at the right hand of the Father in heaven, and through his Holy Spirit is with us every moment of the day. We want to thank you for all you've done for us, and as we give an offering to you, take it and use it that others might know you. We pray that in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen. Amen. Young people, have a wonderful time as you go off to your groups, and we'll see you later. Christmas isn't just for children, is it? It is a wonderful story for all of us to bring us that sense of hope and reality and wonder and worship, that sense of the love of God. We're going to pray, and let's pray as just before we read and before Lou comes to talk to us about hope and Christmas and that sense of hope that came into the world with the arrival of Jesus. Let's pray for hope for people that we know and that we love. And let's pray for them. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, we thank you for the hope that we have. We thank you that you give us hope, because without hope, people do not live. People without hope are in a dire situation. And we thank you that we have a hope in you that nothing can remove, not circumstances, not the economy, not health, but that in you we have a hope that is steadfast, that is certain, that goes through the very curtain and enters the throne room of God. And as your people who have been given that hope, we come before your throne today. We offer that incense of our prayers as it rises before your majesty. Accept the prayers of us, your people. We pray especially right now for those who've been bereaved recently in the fellowship and connected to the fellowship. We pray for Nikki and her family after the sudden loss of her dad.
Pray especially for Nikki's mum, Anne. We pray, Lord, that you would be that presence that brings them joy, that hope that lifts their spirits. Lord, make yourself known to the whole family at this time in their loss. We pray for Barry after the loss of his mum, Wendy. For the family there, for all who gathered on Friday. For the young people now grown who she used to look after in a little youth club that she ran on the estate there in London, who came to remember her and all that she meant to them. We thank you for Wendy's life, and we pray for her family. And this week, Lord, we pray for Jean's family. We rejoice for Jean, for she is now with you. Not hearing about you, but seeing you face to face. Hearing those words, well done, good and faithful servant. But we pray for the family who will miss her for this time. For Margaret and for Karen, for Susan and Valerie and Jacob. Lord, may their grief be tempered with the knowledge that Jean has been made new in your presence. We pray for ourselves, Lord. We pray for leaders of this church as we continue to seek your vision and work out your vision, as we find ways to turn a vision into reality in this place, to know you and each other, to grow as your disciples, followers of Jesus Christ, who are covered in the dust of their rabbi. And people who go into the community and their workplaces and their schools and their colleges and their neighborhoods to be Christ wherever we are. Help us, Lord, as we think these things through. We pray for our world. We remember Moldova on the eve of elections tomorrow as they decide relationship, what relationship that will bring between different groups of nations, whether Russia or the EU. And we pray, Lord, for stability and for peace in that country, especially after Ukraine a year ago had similar elections, making a similar choice between who they would be in close relationship with and the troubles that still beset that country. You are the Prince of Peace. We remember that at this time. His name shall be Prince of Peace. Bring peace to our damaged and broken world. Places like Syria, Israel, Iraq, the southern Sudan, Somalia, and Afghanistan. And Lord, we could name so many other countries. This Christmas, may our world know peace. We pray for the family of that batsman who died this week. It's been all over the news, Lord. The media has been intense on it. But we pray especially for Sean Abbott, the man who bowled the ball. A young man, Lord, probably distraught about what has happened. We pray for him, for his family, for all involved in this tragic circumstance. And we pray, Lord, that you will bring good. We pray, Lord, they may find a hope in you this Christmas time. And in the lead up to Christmas, Lord, we pray for our country, for our society, after some ugly scenes on Black Friday. We pray for that Christmas will again remind us of what's important, not bargains on the high street, but the free gift of Jesus Christ, God's indescribable gift. A relationship with you and a changed life from the inside out. Father, Help every church, every parachurch organization in our country, every charity that loves you and serves you. Help them all to proclaim that wonderful gift this Christmas time. And help us as we proclaim it to our friends, our family, and our neighbors, both together and wherever we find ourselves this week. We pray for Noreen. We pray for her tomorrow. We pray that the operation may happen and that, Lord, you will protect her and keep her safe. And Lord, as we pray throughout the week for other names on our prayer bulletin, would you overshadow by your Spirit each name, each person, each family, and may your will be done. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's read together, shall we, from Luke chapter 2, and we're camping out in the second chapter of Luke for these 4 weeks as we unpack some of the gifts God gives us at Christmas time, and Luke 2 just gives you hints about all of those. So Luke chapter 2, and let me just read the first 14 verses to you. Luke chapter 2 verse 1. I'll read to 20. Good point. Thank you, Luke. Let's read together, shall we? I'm reading from the New Living Translation. The birth of Jesus. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census that was taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all returned to their own ancestral towns to register for that census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He travelled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognise him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to whom God's favor rests." Then the angels returned to heaven, and the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph. And there was the baby lying in a manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all of these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Praise God for his word as we look at that in a moment. We're going to sing before we come to God's Word. It's a song that asks God to be at the centre of our lives this Christmas, not just this Christmas, but all the time. Jesus be the centre. And for him to be centre of our minds and our hearts right now as we come to God's Word. Let's pray. Let's sing, shall we? Would you like to stand with me? And let's sing together. Jesus be the centre.
Jesus, be the center, be my source, be my light, Jesus. Jesus, be the center, be my hope, be my song, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, be my vision, be my path, be my guide, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus. Be the fire in my heart, be the wind in these sails, be the reason that I live, Jesus, Jesus.
What was it that first got your attention when you decided to follow Jesus? For me, it was this sort of question of, is this all that there is? Are we born, go to school, go to work, and then we die? Is that really all there is? Well, I knew inside somewhere that that wasn't all that there was. And so when I made my decision, my commitment to follow Jesus, it was at a spring harvest event. And I knew that I was entering something so much bigger than what I could see, so much bigger than the hopelessness that I felt at that time as a young person and the hopelessness that I could see in the world around me. And the worker, the spring harvest worker, who's a youth worker, who prayed with me as I made that commitment to follow Jesus, she took my Bible and wrote a verse in the front of my Good News Bible that I'd been given when I went to church as a child. And that verse was Romans 15, verse 13. That verse says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit." We're going to unpack that a bit this morning. Hope, it appears a lot in the Bible. It often appears in the trio faith, hope and love. It's often the one that sort of gets shoved under the carpet a bit. It sort of follows, wagging its tail behind faith and love. But this morning we are going to look at the fact that this word hope is one heck of a Christmas present and something that we can take away with us this morning. So let's think about that passage that we read this morning from Luke. You see, as Jesus is born, something miraculous occurs. Something that presents the Israelites, and in fact everyone throughout the whole of history, with hope. We read in verse 10 that the angel announces, I bring you good news of great joy for everyone. The Messiah, the Saviour, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Now, this was a very clear and crucial message that the angel was delivering to these people, because it would very clearly point to the hope that they were resting in. Now, 700 years before the angel announces this news, there is a guy named Micah. And Micah, he was someone that trusted in God, and God gave him a message for the people. And part of this message was this. So from Micah 5, I'm reading from verse 2, you, O Bethlehem, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. The people of Israel will be abandoned to their enemies until the woman in labor gives birth. Then at last his fellow countrymen will return from exile to their own land, and he will stand to lead his flock with the Lord's strength in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Then his people will live there undisturbed, for he will be highly honored around the world, and he will be the source of peace. 700 years before Jesus was born, that was written. 100 years later, so about 600 years before Jesus was born, there was another guy who put his trust in God, and he was called Jeremiah, and God gave Jeremiah a message for the people, and part of this message was this. For the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and right throughout the land, and this will be his name. The Lord is our righteousness. In that day, Judah will be saved and Israel will live in safety. There was an anticipation that there would be a king that would reign forever, the best king that they could ever imagine, who would lead them into security and peace. And this king was going to be from the line of David, and he was going to be born in Bethlehem. So you can see when the angel announces this news and he says that in Bethlehem there is a baby born in the city of David from the line of David, this was indeed good news to the people's ears. Now, hope is a word that probably, if you think about it, you use on a daily basis. We use it quite flippantly, don't we? We might say, I hope that my football team will win the Champions League. Or I hope I will be given that gadget for Christmas. Or I hope that they will give me the all clear at hospital today. Or I hope that the cake that I've spent all afternoon baking will taste okay. We almost use it as a bit of a stab in the dark, don't we? A bit of wishful thinking, sort of looking forward to something, but we're not quite sure if it's really going to happen. But you see, this message that the angel brings reminds those that were listening then and us today that hope takes on flesh as Jesus' birth fulfills promises that were made hundreds of years before. Can you imagine that situation that Joseph and Mary found themselves in? It's really hard for us to take on the sort of reality of this situation, isn't it? Because we read it, not just at Christmas, but we've read it over and over again, and it sort of comes a bit stale, doesn't it? But Joseph and Mary were in a desperate situation at the birth of Jesus. It was early winter, so probably the weather wasn't great. They were summoned to Bethlehem, where they had no relatives, and Mary was due to give birth sort of any moment. They arrive and it is jam-packed. It's a small town and there was literally no room anywhere. Every inn was full to capacity. Now, inns were used for travellers who would be travelling by. They'd want to stop off for the night, and they would be travelling on their camels or their donkeys, and they'd need somewhere to stay, and they'd need somewhere to put their animals. So inns would often be sort of on two floors, And the people would stay on the top floor, on the first floor, and they would want their animals in close proximity because they were very important. You know, that's what was carrying them to their destination. So the animals were often on the ground floor underneath where they were staying, in almost like a stably barn type thing. And so on this night that Jesus is born, we read that the inns are full, which would have meant that the stables would have been full to capacity too, full with camels and donkeys and other pack animals. And what comes with animals? Poo. It would have been a stinky, dirty, crowdy, sweaty sort of place. Not a nice situation at all. And this is what Jesus was born into. This is what the king, the forever king, was born into a feeding trough. You know, if someone posted this on their Facebook page or on their Twitter account, you would be shocked. I've got, for those of you who understand hashtags, there's a hashtag up there. You would be horrified if you read this about one of your friends. You'd be posting things, offering help, offering prayers, offering your sympathy, offering to raise awareness by posting it all over the web. You'd be raising money by starting some sort of viral fundraising campaign. You know, it's amazing when you think about this desperate situation, this hopeless situation, and what God is able to bring out of that, what God is doing, what God is planning. There is hope. And what is this hope? The Bible gives us a massive picture of hope. And I hope that you can understand this morning, there is no way that we can unpick all of what the Bible has to say about hope. I've done a sheet here of some of them, just scratching the surface, some of the Bible verses that touch on hope and sort of unpacking what it really is. And I encourage you to take a sheet away, or I can email it to you if that's easier. But really, those verses and most of the verses in the Bible point to this as hope, that we can find our hope in God, in his love, in his word, and in his promises, that we can hope on God, and that we can have the hope of God's salvation, of a future, and of eternal life. Now, this last concept is probably what we think of when we think of Christian hope. When someone says to you, as a Christian, you know, what is your hope? Well, we would probably say that we have a never-ending life, that we have eternal life, that when we die, there is more. There is more to life than this. You know, we're in a hopeless state, but we're waiting to get to heaven, and we will get there, and this is our hope. And that is a very real part of our hope. We are looking forward to that, and the Bible talks about, you know, what will happen when we die. But this morning, I want to tell you, and this is what I want you to go away as you go into Christmas, there is more than just us waiting for when we die. Do you realise that eternal life starts now? And therefore, that hope is not just something, not just wishful thinking, something that we're sort of aiming towards, a fluffy feeling about what is to come, wishful thinking for the future, but something that we already have, that we already stand in. We often get caught up in the fact that eternal life is a place, don't we? That's how we sort of think. Eternal life is a place. But it's not, is it? Because eternal life, eternal means unending, a life that cannot be taken. Eternal life has already started, people. And I think if we could grasp that fact, it might change a few of the things that we maybe do in our lives, the way that we think and feel. Jesus said, just before he started making his journey to the cross, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will not perish, but will have eternal life. So we're jumping from Christmas to Easter now, aren't we? But Jesus' resurrection, it did something to our very core. I want to read to you something that's very profound, which I think really sits well in here, that Paul wrote in his letter to the Romans. It's from Romans chapter 6. Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we may also live new lives. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ so that sin might lose its power in our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin. For when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. And since we died with Christ, we know we also live in him. We are sure of this because Christ was raised from the dead. So you should also consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin and alive to God through Jesus Christ. Now, to get our heads around this, I have an illustration for you. When Charlie and I left to go to Shropshire in, what was it, April? We left in April. You very kindly gave us a present, and that was a tin of paint. Now, that might not sound very exciting to many of you, but it was exciting to me. It was a special tin of paint. It was a paint by an artist or a lady named Annie Sloan, and if you haven't heard of it, it's paint which is chalk-based. And with this paint, you can, without much preparation or any preparation to a piece of furniture or something in your house, you can paint it and transform it. You just paint it with a couple of layers, wax it and hay press. So you can do some different things to it. So when we moved up to the Quinta in Shropshire, where Charlie's job was, Charlie went down to the basement, and in the basement there was a whole basement full of old furniture. And there was this piece of furniture here. It's a chest of drawers, and it, for the bed, but like a bedside cabinet. And Charlie's boss, or one of Charlie's colleagues, said, "All of the stuff down here, most of the stuff down here, is going to be burnt. It's firewood. It's been used. It's out of date. It's very tired. We're not using it anymore. Something's replaced it, and we're going to just burn this. So you can if you want any of this stuff, you can have it." So Charlie brought me home two of these. I got my Annie Sloan paint, my paintbrush, my sanding paper, my wax, and I made this for our bedroom. So, you might not like the style of it, but this is my French-inspired bedside cabinet, which is going to go into our French-inspired room, I don't know why. What the picture of this, and how I think this helps us to understand that passage in Romans, and also what we're sort of thinking about our hope for today, is that that piece of furniture, it was firewood, it was literally dead, it was going to be burnt, and that was it. But Charlie rescued it, and I painted it, and it is a new piece of furniture. It's unrecognisable. It has a new life. It's worth something now. It's not worthless anymore. It's worth something. And that's what Paul is trying to describe here, that in the power of the death and resurrection of Christ, we die to our old selves and we have new life. We do not need to any longer follow our old life. We can stand in our new life in Christ. And that is the hope that we have and the hope that we can remember this Christmas. The resurrection life starts now. Our hope is something that we stand on now. We are already living in hope. It is not just wishful thinking. We are not in a hopeless state, but a hopeful state that is eternity living now. We have a security and a status that is now. Hope takes on flesh at Christmas. It's something tangible. And something tangible and concrete like that is worth living for, isn't it? So how on earth do we do this? What are the sort of practical implications of this passage in Luke and of this great spiritual truth that we are alive in Christ? Well, I've got 3 points for us to sort of take home with us, and they are from the passage, which is why I got Phil to read on to verse 20. Because in verse 19, we read a response that Mary gives to all that has happened. And I think this is a very great example for us to take on and take on as we go into Christmas. It says that Mary kept all of these things in her heart and she thought about them often. Now, in that passage that I read from Romans, it said, consider yourselves dead to sin and alive in Christ. We need to change our thinking, don't we? We need to reflect on the things. We need to grab hold of these things which are found in the Word, and we need to reflect on them. We need to think about them in our hearts. And we need to allow God to change our thinking. So look upon, consider, means for us to focus on, to contemplate, to give attention to it, to commit to it. You see, the Bible tells us this great truth, that what we think affects the way that we feel, and the way that we feel affects the way that we act. So if we can change our thinking, we can change how we feel. So if we are feeling hopeless, then maybe it's because our thought process isn't in the right place. So we need to try and sort of reorganize that and allow God to change our thinking. David in the Psalms are just brilliant, aren't they? Because they cover so much of our human emotion, and they're so useful for using when we don't necessarily have the words. And Psalm 62, I think, grabs hold of this idea of sort of contemplating and thinking and keeping stuff in our hearts. David says from Psalm 62, "Let all that I am wait quietly before God, for my hope is in him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honour come from God alone. He is my refuge, a rock where no enemy can reach me. O my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart to him, for God is our refuge." So it says, wait patiently on the Lord. Let's carve out that space and time, especially in this lead up to Christmas, when it can be so busy and frantic. You've got so many things to plan and prepare. Let's carve out that time somehow, somewhere, whatever best suits you, to wait quietly before God. Spend some time listening to him, getting into the word, and just sort of taking stuff in. And it also says, pour out your heart to God. Don't keep those things sort of in there tightly. If you're feeling hopeless, just pour it out to God, because he wants to hear and he wants to reach down and take hold of you and help you. Let God renew our thinking, and let's be like this psalmist. Let's be quiet before God and pour out things to him. The second point I want to make from our passage is from verse 20, when we see that what the shepherd's response is. What did the shepherds do when the angel came and said to them, "I bring you good news of great joy"? Well, their response was to glorify and praise God. It was just as the angel had told them. Now, let's be realistic. Things are not what they should be, are they? The world is not as we would choose it to be. Our lives are not necessarily as we would choose them to be. As Phil said earlier, for some of us, Christmas is not that happy, joyous occasion. It's a painful time when we remember those people that have passed away, when we remember events throughout the year. It can be painful. It's not always good news for us. But there is hope, because Jesus was that hope made flesh. And I want to read another psalm to you from Psalm 42, where again, this is not David speaking, this is someone else. But the guys that wrote this, they said, "Why am I so discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Well, I'm going to put my hope in God. I will praise him, my saviour and my God." You know, being a Christian is not sort of expecting that everything's going to be rosy and fluffy. But it's saying, you know, I am down, I am discouraged, I am feeling hopeless, but I'm still going to praise God. I'm still going to give him the glory that he deserves. You know, Satan, our enemy, wants us to feel hopeless. And, you know, that's a truth that is in the Bible and that I want to share with you this morning. The enemy wants you to feel hopeless. He wants you to feel like life is being sucked out of you, because it says he comes to steal and kill and destroy life. He wants us to sort of question and doubt and just feel hopeless, like there's nothing else as we struggle through our circumstances. But our hope on the rock that is God defends us against this enemy. Romans 8 is just full of great stuff, and it's full of this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? You know, those are the questions that we sort of think. Is God really there? Does he really love me? No. Well, yes. Paul says, no, despite all these things, Overwhelming victory, I hope that's edited out somehow. Overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. Paul says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow, nor even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That is our hope, and that is what we have to hold on to. So let's continue to worship God, even when we're feeling down. Let's say, God, you are our rock. So let's think and consider on these things. Allow God to change our thinking. Let's praise God. And then what does that lead to? Well, that leads us to share this hope. See, in verse 17, it says, what did the shepherds do after they praised? The shepherds went out and they told everybody the news that the angel shared with them. And everyone that was told was astonished. You know, we have this amazing hope. And I really encourage you to take away those scriptures to have a look and just to have a look at all that hope that we have. We have this amazing hope. Why on earth would we keep that to ourselves? We often feel like we're treading on people's toes and that, you know, it's embarrassing to sort of share our faith and, you know, we don't have anything to share really. But we have a hope in this hopeless world. We have a hope. Let's share that great news that is good, that good news that is great joy for all people, not just for the Israelites and for us that believe, but it's for all people. Your vision statement says that you are going to be servants in a world of consumers and good news in a world of bad news. That's so relevant for Christmas time, I think. And it says also that you are going to be hope peddlers. Now, I'm not quite sure, you know, that's probably come out of the leadership team's mind, so you might want to unpick that a bit more. But you're going to be hope peddlers, you're going to be life bringers, and you're going to be seed throwers. So, you know, at Christmas, not only just spend some time thinking and reflecting on the hope, spend some time, you know, giving glory to God by saying you are the rock, but also go out and share that good news of great joy with the people around you. And the great news for us is that we do not need to do it on our own. I want to take you back to that passage in Romans that I was given when I became a Christian. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. You do not have to do this on your own. You don't have to sit there going, oh, I need some hope. God will enable you to have hope by transforming your minds, by giving you that sort of hopeful attitude in your hearts. So, this Christmas, we can hold on to this hope made flesh. This hope that there is more to life. There is an eternity, but that this eternity starts now. Remember this hope. Walk in this hope. Stand in this hope. Live in this hope. Live on this hope. And share this hope. And there's a little video clip for us just as we finish and before I pray for you. Thanks, Steve.
Strength is gone. You're the one who calls me on. You are the life, you are the fight that's in my soul. Oh, your resurrection power burns like fire in my heart. When waters rise, I lift my eyes up to your throne. Conqueror.
chain is breakable with you. We are victorious. You are stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Nothing is impossible. Every chain is stronger than our hearts. You are greater than the dark. With you, we are victorious. Yeah, nothing is impossible. Every chain is breakable. With you, we are victorious. Yeah, you are stronger than our hearts.
Let me pray for you as we end. This is a prayer from the Bible, sort of from Paul's prayers, that I want to pray over you because I think it's got great words. So the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may you fill Godstone Baptist Church with wisdom and revelation that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, so that they may know you better and better. I pray that the eyes of their hearts may be enlightened so that they may know the hope to which you have called them. You have called us all to the riches of your glorious inheritance, and you have given us incomparably great power. That power is the same as the mighty strength you demonstrated when you raised Christ from the dead. You came into this world humbled as a baby, and then you defeated death, and you have authority and power over everything else. I pray that Godson Baptist Church would find their strength in your glorious power and would live a life worthy of you in their everyday lives. Help them to bear fruit through their work together as a church. Please help them to be a church of hope, infectious hope. And God, may we all be filled with hope, always thanking you, our Father, who has rescued us from death and has brought us into life. Amen. We're going to sing this song. Really sort of sums up all that we've been looking at this morning. So if you're able, please would you stand, and we're going to sing In Christ Alone.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is the light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are sealed and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe. This gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save. Till on that cross, as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid, here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world on darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose
as he stands in victory. Since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death, this is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man, can ever pluck me from his hands. Till he returns, or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I stand.
Yeah, thank you, God, that that is the power in which we stand. And we do just pray that we would go out standing in and on that hope. And so as we end, I just want to, again, just share that verse with you as a sort of blessing. So may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So please take a seat. Please carry on chatting. Share some stuff with people. And please join us for tea and coffee in the back hall.
We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God. We are more than conquerors through Christ. You have overcome this world, this life. We will not bow to sin or to shame. We are defiant in your name. You are the fire that cannot be tamed. You are the power in our veins, our Lord, our God, our conqueror.
Choosing celebrate.